Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. You sense the Spirit of the Lord here this morning? Four of you do? I tell you what, I just want Jesus, I want the Spirit of the Lord Jesus to show up every time we're here. And I want an anointing. I just want all that God wants to do to happen here every time we're together. And to do that, we need to get prepared even before we get here. So just remember that before you come to worship. We're journeying through Joshua this summer. And I tell you, the message today ties right in to what we've been singing about. I've entitled the message this morning, Faith is the Victory. So if let me just kind of introduce what we're talking about this morning, then we'll stand and read from the Word of God. How many of you understand today that we are in and on a battleground? I think a lot of Christians think that this is some playground. I've come here today to tell you we're not in a frolic, we are in a fight. We're in a battlefield, really, as the children of God. And, you know, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:12 says that we are to fight the good fight of the faith. And so you probably, most of y'all have probably figured out that we are in a fight, we're in a battle. And the world, the flesh, and especially the old sinister minister of fear and doubt, old slewfoot, Satan, is coming against us, and he wants to defeat us. He wants to get us to quit. He wants us to give up. He wants us to get off track, to lose focus. He wants to whip us. And you may be in a struggle with something from him or the world or the flesh. You may be battling an illness or a sickness or some type of depression, or maybe it's a personal sin that you're dealing with, or maybe it's a financial difficulty, or possibly it's there is all kinds of stuff that have the tendency to come at us, and you know, it's threatening our safety and our security. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we're in a battle, and it may be a relationship struggle, maybe a social issue. I don't know, but whatever the devil can use against you to whip you and defeat you, let me tell you, he's going to aim that heavy artillery right at you. But I've got some good news. We have victory in Jesus Christ. We are not fighting for the victory. He won the victory for us already. We're fighting from victory today. And so this morning, we have a wonderful illustration of the battle that we find ourselves in and how we can have personal victory over the world, the flesh, and especially the old devil. Now, you remember the children of Israel have just crossed the Jordan River. Supernaturally, God's provision. And it's now time for the nation of Israel to claim Canaan land, to possess all that God has promised them. And the first city that you come to after you cross the Jordan River there was the great city of Jericho. And Jericho standing in front of them. And Jericho, depending on how you're looking at the city, separated Canaan land, the northern part from the southern part, or you could say maybe from the eastern and western part. But Joshua and his army, his people, needed to take Jericho if the rest of Canaan was going to fall. Y'all with me so far? If you're excited about the Word of God this morning, would you stand to your feet? Let me just read that first verse for you there in chapter 6. If you're there, say amen. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Have you got the picture there? They're surrounded The Israelites have surrounded the city of Jericho. I want to talk to you now about the siege of the city. But where, John McAllister, I know I... There you are. Pray, brother, would you? Amen. Glad to have John and Lynn with us, our Good News Club folks. Y'all welcome them too. Amen. All right. Jericho, first of all, the siege of the city is taking place. Jericho is an old city, probably the oldest city in the world. Now, it's not a large city, and it wasn't a large city back then. It was only about 8 acres, but it was considered to be impregnable. It had these two huge walls. These walls were about 15 feet apart, and they were immense. They were very high, and they encircled. This was a fortified city, and it was an amazing, amazing structure. And so the Israelites, get the picture now. They're standing around the city. Now, they've got it surrounded, and they're looking up at the immense size of these walls, and I'm sure there's somebody in the crowd thinking, there is no way we're going to be able to take this city. I mean, look at what we're up against. And soldiers, you know, would line out the top of the wall. And so they're thinking, how in the world are we going to defeat these people? And it looked like an impossible victory. And I've been there. How many of you have had a Jericho raise its head in your life? What looks to be impossible, a problem that has come into your life. And you know, when you come to Jesus, man, everything's awesome. You remember back, that's a stretch for somebody like me. I saved 50-something years ago. But I remember when I came to Christ, man, everything was great. Everything was wonderful. Everything was awesome. And I was just, I mean, floating around on the clouds. But you know what? I figured out after a few months, sometimes after you get saved, things get worse. But bless God, you have Jesus to help fight those battles, those Jerichos that raise their ugly head in your life, that threaten your security and your safety and promise defeat. It may be a selfish ambition on your part. It might be some personal sin or a bad habit. It may be certain friends or some type of spiritual weakness. But how many of you have a Jericho in your life, or have had a Jericho in your life? I want to tell you, Jericho is coming. If you don't have a Jericho in front of you right now, then you're going to have one. But I've come here today to tell you how to have victory over the Jerichos in life. Are you ready? Are y'all ready over here? All right. How about this bunch right out here in front? How about the bunch over here on the left? Y'all ought to take some notes today, because I want to give you a recipe for victory. And it's right here in the Word of God before us. Now, we want to look at the strategy of our Savior. Now, let's suppose that they're all around, you know, they've got the city surrounded. And let's just suppose that Joshua asked for some opinions. Or even better, what if Joshua had sent out a survey about how to take the city? Well, you know what? He would have had a ton of opinions, and he would have had a bunch of different options, right? Because everybody's got an opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, especially folks in the church. Amen? And so I've said all of that to say this. The key... Remember this. If you don't get anything else, get this today. The key in having victory over your Jericho is getting involved in what the Lord wants to do. He's got a plan. He's got a strategy. And in order for you to have victory, you need to get in on that strategy. Now, I know I've been dealing with this all week, y'all, but that's good stuff right there. You need to get in on what God's plan is, not man's plan. Not somebody's opinion, not somebody else's strategy, but what God's plan is. And so we see the strategy explained. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, now listen to this, I have given Jericho into your hand. Is that not plain? That's pretty good promise, isn't it? I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. And this you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Covenant. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priest continued blowing. And so we see the strategy being explained to Joshua. And so God had already given the city to the Israelites. It was theirs. All they had to do was appropriate the victory. They needed to claim it for God. And here's the strategy. They were to walk around the city once a day for 6 days and then go back to camp. And here's the fighting men were to be out front. And then you had the priests who were blowing on 7 trumpets. And then you had the Ark of the Covenant. And then you had the rear guard. And then on the 7th day, they were to do it a little bit differently. They were to go around 7 times. And then after the 7th time around, well, we'll get to that here in just a minute, but this was God's strategy and can't you just imagine what was going through the Israelites' minds? Can't you I can hear it right now. Oh my goodness, that'll never work. And the average church is sitting around today with all the problems facing the church today, and the Jerichos that are out in front of us, and we've got that mindset, oh, that won't work. You know what the 7 last words of the church are? We have never done it that way before. Oh, that costs too much money. Don't you know God's broke and so are His people? We don't have the resources for that. And blah, 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 blah. It's not our job to understand God's strategy. It's just simply our job to believe it and obey it. Just believe it and obey it. I don't have to understand it all. I'm just supposed to believe it all and do what God said. I had a lady last week, she's a new believer, and she was telling me, she said, Pastor, I just don't understand everything in the Bible that I'm reading. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Is there anything that you're reading that you do understand? She said, yes. And I said, I bet you that you'll stay busy just doing what you do understand, rather than not focusing on what you don't understand. Am I right? She said, yeah, I guess that is right. And so you see, God hadn't called us to understand everything. He's just called us to believe His Word when He gives it to us. That's the strategy that He gave to Joshua. And they were just simply to go about doing it. For 6 days, they were to march around this huge city once a day. And those 7 priests were to be blowing on the trumpets. And then you got the rear guard in behind them. Then you've got the Ark of the Covenant. You've got the 7 priests on the trumpets. And then you've got the soldiers out in front. And they're going around this city once a day for 6 days. And then they're going back to camp. Now, let me ask y'all something. Does this sound like an absurd strategy? It does to me. Let me quote a couple of verses over in Isaiah 55. The Word of God says, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Brothers and sisters, we're finite. God's infinite. You see, we think we're smart and we've got all this knowledge and wisdom. Let me tell you, there isn't anything God doesn't know. He knows it all. You can't teach God anything, because He already has all the knowledge. And so when God tells us to do something, He's speaking from His omniscience. He is speaking from His omnipresence. And he's speaking from his omnipotence. There isn't anything that God doesn't know. There isn't anything that God couldn't do. And there isn't anything where God, in anywhere where God is not. And so when he tells us what to do, we just need to show up and say, yes, sir. We just simply follow God's word. So the strategy has been explained. Now, let's look at the strategy being executed. Look at verse 10. Now, y'all, this is significant. Look at verse 10. Now, Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. Listen to this. Nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout! Then you shall shout. Are y'all with me so far? For 6 days, they're supposed to not only encircle the city, they're supposed to march around the city, and they're not to say one word. Not one word. You know, here's something. Here's another keeper for you. Your tongue is often a test of your faith. James 3 in verse 2 says, any man that can bridle his tongue is a perfect man. I don't know how y'all are, but you know how many times I've said to myself, me and my big mouth. I don't know if she's saying that amen because of me or because of her, but our mouths get us in such trouble, don't they? And you know, sometimes the best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut. And y'all, I'm preaching to me here. I'm verbal, and I go nuts if I'm not able to say something from time to time. And you know, there are folks that think that the louder you talk, the more spiritual you are. Hello? Wrong. And so they're to keep their mouth shut as they're marching around this city. They're not supposed to be saying anything. Now, let's just put ourselves in the Israelites' shoes, okay? You're walking around. There's these huge walls, two of them. One on the outside, one on the inside. Huge walls, and you're marching around, and the soldiers are up on top. Now, don't you know after about 4 or 5 days of this, those soldiers are up on top of that outside wall, and they're looking down at you, and they're saying, y'all are a bunch of fools. Y'all look like idiots. What are y'all doing? I mean, ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, and we all fall down. And you know what? I bet the enemies weren't the only ones talking. I bet when they got back to camp, some of the children of Israel were probably saying things like, what's wrong with Joshua? What's wrong with him? He's a grape shy of a fruit salad. This is the most absurd thing. We do look like a bunch of idiots. We look like a bunch of fools. On July the 4th, of 2016, God gave me two passages of Scripture. And then in the coming days and weeks, even more Scripture. That my family and I were supposed to come back to Clarksville and teach folks and preach folks how to fear God and to see people come to Christ. And so I had it in my heart. We were supposed to come back here and plant and start a church, and I'm thinking, I'm 60 years old, almost 60. I was 59. And so there was a guy there in Waynesboro, I shared this with. You know, you can't talk to everybody as a pastor, to just anybody and everybody. So I said, what do you think about that? He said, are you crazy? I said, yeah. He said, you're almost 60 years old and you can't wear skinny jeans and flip-flops. If you hadn't noticed, those are the guys planting the churches today, okay? And so, man, you know, I like this guy and I treasure his advice. And so I got to thinking, what? And so I got on the phone and I called our Tennessee Baptist Convention executive director, who was an interim several years ago up at First Baptist, Brother Randy Davis. He's a great guy. And he's a powerful personality for God in our state. And so I told him about what God had told me to do. You know what he said? He said, you can go for it, Cal. He said, if God's told you to do it, nobody can stop you. I said, well, he's pretty well told me that. He said, I'll tell you what, we'll get behind you and support you. He said, I'm going to put you... He said, he gave me a name of a guy who is our church planting specialist. And he said, you go through an assessment with him. So I went through this 2-day assessment with him. And he told me right up front, he said, well, you know, most pastors don't score really well on church planting. I said, oh boy. And so I did that, and I scored high as a church planter. And scored high as a pastor, too. And so Lewis began to help me and put things together. And so we started making plans to move. And Diana had gotten a word from God, too. And wasn't an easy move. Hard. How many of y'all ever run off and left 3 grandchildren? Daughters. I mean, it ain't easy. And so I kind of got sidetracked for about 13 months on starting this church. But this first guy I talked to called me. He said, let's go out to lunch. And so we went out to lunch. And he said, are you still planning on starting, trying to plant a church? He said, are you going to move? You going to leave Waynesboro? You going to move to Clarksville? I said, yeah. He said, that's crazy. And I said, I may be crazy. I may be a nut. And I looked at him across the table. And I said, but I am screwed to the right bolt. And so are y'all. Look what God has done. I said, look what God has done. And so the strategy was executed. Let's look at the success of the saints. Now, the seventh day rolls around, okay? People are keeping their, you know, I'm sure people are saying whatever they need to say. And now remember, God's already promised the city to Joshua and the Israel. It's already theirs. All they've got to do is just execute the plan. Execute the strategy. And so, for 6 days, they've been doing exactly that. Now look at verse 16. And the seventh time it happened. Now this is on the seventh day. They're on the seventh time around. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Joshua said, guys, those walls are going to fall. God has given us the city. Let's follow through with the plan. Let's do what God tells us to do. And so when Joshua gave the order, they're blowing this long, the priests are blowing this long trumpet blast on those trumpets, and then every Israelite begins to shout. And when they shouted, what happened? The walls came tumbling down. I'm going to preach a message one day. Why has the shout left the Baptist building? This is the shout of faith. This is the shout of victory. I want everybody to see this. We'll close with it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Man, this is good stuff. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. When you get there, shout victory. Victory. If you're not there yet. All right, everybody there? I want you all to see this. Hebrews 11 verse 30. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Whew. Now jump on over to chapter 13. I just saw that this week. Look at chapter 13 verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Faith is saying what God has already promised. Faith is saying what God's already said is accomplished. In other words, God said, I'll give you the city. Faith shouted back, I'll take it. I'll take it. And the walls came tumbling down. Y'all, that is fantastic truth today. One of the reasons that we don't have as much victory as we have today is because we've got this Eeyore negative spirit. Speak life into your children. Speak life into your spouse. Be positive. Be about the things that God has told us to be about. Faith is the victory. Speak words of faith. Just say them out loud. And you know what? I believe that blesses God. And so those walls came tumbling. After that shout, let me hear y'all give a shout of faith. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Oh, we got to be dignified. Where did that come from? I see y'all at the ball games. Hello? And you're the same person up in here. Well, another sermon. The Israelites went on up into Jericho, and they destroyed the city and killed the people. And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, that is terrible. Well, it just goes to show you how serious God is about sin. We're supposed to get really sick. Do you know who put the Lord Jesus on the cross for our sin? God the Father. That's how serious God is about sin. And so they were to destroy the city, and they were to take the lives of the Canaanites. They were full of iniquity. The city was filled with idolatry. They're sacrificing their babies and their children in the fire. Sexually transmitted diseases. Rampant city of degradation. And in order for the children of Israel to live and prosper, these folks needed to be wiped out. They'd already had 40 years. For 40 years, they knew in Jericho, Israel's coming. And by the way, there was one family in Jericho that repented. You remember what her name was? Rahab. And so if you were living in Jericho and you'd heard that they were coming for 40 years, you know what I'd have done? And what some of you would have probably done? You'd have run to Rahab's house and repented and gotten under that you remember that scarlet cord? That was symbolic of the blood. And you'd have gotten in under her house, under her roof. And you'd have been delivered and saved. And Rahab was delivered. Why? Because of faith. Faith. Faith really is the victory. Well, I'm out of time. Many years later, Jesus was coming through Jericho. And there's a little bitty old man who's sitting atop of up in the branches of a sycamore tree. Y'all remember his name? And Zacchaeus was a sinner bound for hell. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. Why? Thank you. Because I'm going to your house today. And I've said all that to say this morning. Zacchaeus' walls of shame and sin came tumbling down. And friend, if you're in Jericho today, if that's where you're living, whoo, you'd better get Jesus in the house. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, the walls of Jericho will come tumbling down if you claim that victory by faith. Let's pray. Lord, I really don't understand it all. And I really don't have all the answers. I don't know why some things happen the way they do. I don't know why some things turn out the way they do. But Lord, I just have to admit today, you've got a bigger purpose and a bigger plan than little old Cal Hampton can even understand sometimes. And there are men and women, boys and girls in this room today, and they're up against a Jericho in their life. It looks like victory's impossible. And so, Lord, would you give my brothers and sisters the faith that they need to overcome the Jericho in their life? Help them by faith to turn completely towards you. And for those that are here today, like Zacchaeus, like Rahab was, lost and undone, oh God, I pray that they'd come running to Jesus today. And that this would be the day of salvation for that one or two or 10 or 20. And if you are that person today, let me just tell you, if you'll turn from your sin today, forsake it, walk away from it, by looking to Jesus and placing your faith and your trust, believing in and on Him, faith in Him will save you. You can do that right where you sit. If you pray to receive Christ today, wherever you're sitting, you'll just say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Change me. Make me what you want me to be. Thank you. If you'll pray something like that, God will save you right where you sit. And He's going to give you a brand spanking new life. I've got some materials I want to get in your hands in your new life with Christ. You need to come forward today. Or let me know after the service this is what you've done. And we'll get you some counsel. We'll get you some stuff that you can begin your new life in Christ with. I want to pray for every one of us right now. Father, minister life in this place today. For those that need victory over Jericho, and for those that are living in Jericho and need to be delivered. Oh God, would you do a work here at Second Mile Church this morning? I ask it in the name that's above every other name given to us under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. This is our time of response. If you need prayer, we're here. You come. You prayed to receive Christ, you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.